What's up, guys? Rick and the legend, Brian Snow, back again for another recruiting recap. We're going to sort of talk about it. It's been another month here. We've gone through May. Going to talk about where things kind of stand with a lot of Xavier's top targets and where their efforts are headed on the recruiting trail. So let's jump right into it. Snow, obviously getting into, when you get into this May, heading into June territory, everyone kind of gets a little bit anxious, wondering when that first name is going to pop, wondering when a commitment may happen. The closest guy right now, I think we definitely both agree on this, the closest guy that there's a chance that could commit soon is Najee Marshall. He's been one of their top targets for a while now. They certainly ramped up the heat and pressure in April when they saw him after the live evaluation periods. And right now, it seems like with Isaac Chu, the assistant coach at Virginia Tech, leaving, you know, it was kind of when it first happened, it was up in the air a little bit. How much of a difference will that make? This week, from what I've heard, it sounds like Xavier feels really good about what Chu leaving Virginia Tech has done for their recruitment of Najee Marshall.
Yeah, you know, when I was down in Hampton, even though Najee plays for DC Premier, which is an Under Armour team, some of his high school coaches are actually affiliated with Team Takeover, which is a Nike program. And when I was down in Hampton, I asked some of them kind of, you know, what are you hearing on Najee? And I was told that Chu leaving did have a big effect. I wasn't sure at first, but I think it did have a major effect. Now, that said, Buzz Williams has done a very good job. So you can't count out Virginia Tech. I was under the impression the visit was going to happen this past weekend. It is actually, he's going to fly back from L.A. and go to Blacksburg to visit, I believe, on the 30th or the 31st. So that's going to be upcoming, that visit. And then after that, I think the wheels are really going to be put in motion.
Yeah, I think June is going to be a big month here for Marshall's recruitment. And not that, oh, if he doesn't commit in June or early July, it's bad for Xavier, because, you know, it's a big decision, and certainly guys can take their time with this. But the only thing I would say is, if he does get into that next evaluation period in July, clearly he's not, like, committed to Xavier yet. Clearly he doesn't feel like he's going to Xavier right now if he plays out that long. So I think it will be interesting to see if something happens in June or that first week of July when we sometimes see an early commitment. That'll be very big for Xavier.
Yeah, and I think right now Najee Marshall, even though he's not the most highly rated player in the class, I think he's the most important player in the class.
Why do you say that? What makes him so important for X?
Because in this class, which I think could get up to as many as six. Now, I think six might be a slight stretch. I think the working number is five. Right. But if the right six want to come and Xavier could get them, I think they could fit six in this class. He's a kid, he can play point guard. He can play two guard. He can play small forward. He can play power forward. And his unique ability and versatility just sets everything else up so perfectly that you can afford to take a kid who's a shooter like a Jared Ritter, who really can't guard anybody. You can take more of a project two guard and a Greg Elliott. You know, you can afford a Paul Scruggs, who's not a real point guard but kind of is a point guard. Same with Nojel Eastern. I just think his versatility and his ability to do so many different things and at the same time not scare anybody else off really is what makes him most important for Xavier in this big class.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point there. When you're looking at trying to bring in a five-man class, you certainly get into this game of, well, okay, if we take a commitment from this guy, even though we really like him, does that turn off all these other recruits? And Xavier's in such an interesting situation with this class because, yeah, they've certainly been in on big names in the past and it hasn't equated to much, but this is different, I think. At least to me, it feels different this year than, like, you know, last year when they're in on Markelle Fultz, when we kind of knew he was blowing up and they weren't going to have a real chance. Like, I think most of these guys that we're talking about right now, like maybe Wilkes is still, even though they're in a really good position, we'll talk more about him later. Maybe that's a little bit of a pipe dreamer. Maybe he's the guy that'll go bigger than Xavier. But most of these guys that we have on the hot board and we've been talking about frequently on the board, it seems like Xavier's legitimately right there in the leaders and has a chance to reel them in. So trying to figure out how you want to piece this class together and the timing of these commitments really starts to become a little bit more of a game and a puzzle that they have to put together, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's the hard, that's the good part and the hard part about bringing in a big class is you have more flexibility, but you have to find a way to make it work and find the best mix of guys. And that's what Xavier's really setting out to do, and that's why I think Najee Marshall is so important, especially if they can get him early.
Two other guys that you brought up while we were talking about Najee there, I kind of want to hit on real quick, because I think they're two guys that could be early commitments as well if Xavier really decides to make a push for them. And to this point, they haven't gone all in, I don't think, on trying to get a commitment on either one of these guys. Greg Elliott was the first name you talked about. Versatile two-guard. How do you see things with Elliott? One, in terms of what he brings to the table, but then two, in terms of where Xavier's at in his recruitment.
See, Elliott's an interesting case because I think when he if he can redshirt at a place, and not even so much that he could stay a fifth year, just that he could redshirt to focus on improving his body and getting ready, I think he could have great things come his way. I think he's a better shooter from three than his numbers show right now. You're talking about a kid who's like a 90% free throw shooter. Usually 90% free throw shooters are not 30% three-point shooters. So I think he's a better three-point shooter than he's showing. He's long. He just finds the ball. I think he's a good player who's going to be a great player down the road. So I like Greg Elliott. And then in terms of his recruitment, I think right now Xavier's the team. Now, Xavier's not been put in a position where they have to offer him. Everybody's kind of taken a wait-and-see approach on Greg Elliott, and Xavier's waiting and seeing. That said, you know, Chris Mack, Travis Steele, they did a ton of early work with Greg. You know, went up to see him play, put in a lot of work early. I believe Greg's going to come down for team camp and maybe even another time in June. If Xavier is impressed, they're going to offer. And I don't know that a quick commitment will come, but I'm not saying one wouldn't either.
Yeah, and I think the one thing you mentioned in there about his game that I 100% saw at the YBL event I attended earlier this year in Indy was he finds the ball. I mean, he's just a playmaker, and you can't always pinpoint exactly what he does well or what skill it is that translates so well, but he's always making plays, always playing hard. Really liked that about him. Another name that you had brought up there when we were talking about Najee was Jared Ritter, 6'6", 6'7"-ish shooter, really shoot the ball. When I saw him, he didn't really seem to do much else, but this gets into an interesting, you know, we were talking about how you piece this class together and you mentioned scaring guys off. I think Ritter is one of those guys where if you're going to have a five, potentially six man class, he might be one of the ideal guys to get on board early because he doesn't scare anybody off. He's a shooter. Everyone looks at him as a shooter, more of a specialist. So if you're looking at like another wing or three man or whatever, they're not going to look at, oh, Xavier got Jared Ritter. Now I'm afraid to go there because he's going to be in front of me. That's just not how it really works when you're talking about a shooter like Jared Ritter.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is Jared Ritter next to Najee Marshall is perfect because Najee, the one thing he doesn't do well is shoot. This is a kid who gets into the lane, passes, athletic, plays defense. So if you put Najee and Jared Ritter as your two forwards, you have one who can stretch, you have one who can play make, you have one who can guard, you have one who can't. So you put Ritter on the one who can't do anything. The offensive, there's always going to be one offensive player who can't do anything. You put Ritter on him, you have Najee on the guy who can, and you just have a lot of versatility, and that's how you make pieces work. So I think especially if Xavier can get Najee Marshall, I think that makes Jared Ritter a higher priority.
Another guy I wanted to sort of bring up here, because I think both of us have heard positive things about Xavier and him recently, is Kamani Lawrence, ranked number 35 in the class, certainly one of the top guys that Xavier's recruiting in terms of talent. He's another guy who I think just fits in perfectly with sort of the direction Xavier's been going with the way they play. I think he's more of a face-up four. I don't know exactly what your opinion is on what position he'll play, but right now, the latest I've heard is that XU and Creighton have been in there the longest. They have the best relationship with them. They are the teams that most people think are the teams to beat in his recruitment just because they have the most familiarity and he's most comfortable with them. But he's always said, he's maintained the idea that he would be okay with going far away. And the other schools we've heard kind of in the mix for him, Texas and USC, obviously those are big-time programs. It could really be interesting to see how serious he is about leaving and going far away for college.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you're willing to travel, I think he's a native of Providence. If you're willing to travel from Providence to Cincinnati for college, you're willing to travel from Providence to LA. I mean, quite honestly, If you're Cincinnati to Providence ain't an easy trip.
No.
So, you know, like, heck, realistically, you might be able to get to LA quicker because it might be direct. You ain't getting there direct from CBG. So, you know, that's what I would say is I think his interest in Xavier and Creighton shows that he's willing to go away. Yeah, I think he's more of a face-up four as well just because he doesn't handle it great. He's shooting the ball a lot better. He's a good athlete. He rebounds pretty well. He's playing harder than he ever has. He's a kid I really like. Now, I do think 35 is probably a little bit high. I think when we reevaluate, he'll probably be more of a 50 to 75 guy, but I can't say that for sure. But I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, and he really passes the ball well too, which I think is kind of ideal for what Xavier wants at the four. They need to get him on campus. That's been the difficulty with his recruitment. His mom's not really involved very much. He has an AAU coach who's kind of running his recruitment, and it just hasn't, you know, worked out with everyone's schedules, and they haven't really gotten too heavy in the mix yet with any schools in terms of making visits and things like that. So Xavier's really trying to get him on campus. They need to do that before this thing is going to progress at all. But, you know, sources have told me that they don't expect him to be a guy who drags the process out much once he starts making his visits to these kind of top schools that are recruiting him. So certainly an interesting name to keep an eye on, and one that Xavier stands in good position with. So one of the interesting things, and I mentioned this in the last Nuggets that I typed up, was that the staff has kind of been looking, going back to the Kipper Nichols saga, kind of looking for that athletic defender on the wing, a guy that can be a stopper, and they haven't really been able to get that. They got Kaiser Gates, who's maybe more in that Kipper Nichols mold, but he's really a forward who has the ability to stay with some wings. They have yet to find a guy who's really a perimeter stopper that's going to guard, you know, like an Isaiah Whitehead or a really good two guard that's on the wing. So a couple of names recently that have kind of surfaced that I wanted to bring up. One, Jermaine Samuels, just a guy that we hadn't really talked a whole lot about for a while, even though Xavier had been in the mix there recruiting. Coach Murray has been there, and it seems like after the April evaluation period, Xavier extended that offer, and things have kind of turned up quietly without us reporting a whole lot about it. And he's not a skilled guy. He's not a shooter. But he's long, he's athletic, he's really tough, and I think the staff really likes his defensive ability.
Yeah, I mean, he can also get to the rim and score. I mean, he's got no conscience at all on the offensive end. He's trying to put his head down and get to the rim as much as possible. And then, you know, he's not a great defender yet, but he has the tools to be one. And once again, 2-3-4 versatility. So I think that's something that fits in.
You know, Nova, Tennessee, Pitt, Syracuse, Texas, Marquette, all in the mix there up at the top of his list. I think he's still a little more wide open than some of these other guys, but Xavier is in a better position than I think we've been letting on for a while now. So I did definitely wanted to mention him in terms of that defender mold. There's another guy that just popped up on the radar recently with Xavier extending an offer, I think, over the weekend, Shaundi Brown out of Florida. And at first glance, this name, it just kind of seemed like it came out of nowhere. Didn't really seemed to be a very serious target, but I had an interesting conversation this morning about him. And actually, one of his old, I can't remember if it was his former high school coach or if it's his current high school coach, but either way, the guy still works at his high school and he sees him daily. He's around him a lot. Guy's name is Kirk Kramer. He played with Chris Mack on Athletes in Action a while back. So Chris has had this relationship, has known the kid, and Luke Murray took on his recruitment as the lead recruiter. So he's been, since basically the beginning of the high school season, he's been recruiting Shaundi Brown. But Xavier just felt like, look, he's in Florida. It's kind of a one-off thing. We don't really have a lot of other recruits down there. Probably not a guy we're going to see a whole lot of really recruit, especially considering he's already got a lot of big interest in Florida, Georgia, Wake, Maryland, all of that stuff. So they had kind of been slow playing his recruitment, not taking it, you know, all that, I wouldn't say all that serious, but they just hadn't been putting a lot of resources into it. But the kid reached out to him recently and just kind of said, you know, my family likes the idea of a small school. He's a really good student. They liked the academic feel of Xavier, I guess, and just have kind of said, you know, don't know that a big SEC football type school is necessarily where I'm headed. So Florida, Georgia, you know, maybe not the type of places that he's necessarily most comfortable with. So they started picking up his recruitment a little more, and obviously they just extended that offer. But there's also, I think, like, his mother's best friend, her son plays on the baseball team at Xavier. So they had gone to a Xavier baseball game and were talking about, you know, campus and seeing how he liked it and everything. So there are like three or four little connections here to Xavier and this area that make it a little more intriguing. Now, I don't say all that to mean, oh, Xavier is in the mix here and is at the top of his list. That's not the case. He's not their top priority on the recruiting trail by any means, but he's another guy that is big, strong guard, athletic. I was told he looks like an outside linebacker. He's like 6'5", 215, and just really athletically gifted, more of like a straight line driver, not a lot of shake or handle in his game, but he can also hit standstill threes. So I think that's another name to sort of keep an eye on there in terms of finding a big athletic defender on the wing. He might be another guy that, while not their top priority, we could see them pick up his recruitment a little bit as things go on.
Yeah, Xavier's got some weird connections this year with kids in the South. We've talked about Alex O'Connell a little bit. I guess someone in his family played at Xavier. I don't know who the heck it was. They got family who all went to McNick, and assuming they don't hate Ryan Caldwell, that probably works in Xavier's favor as well. I mean, so there's some kids in the South that it's like, well, this doesn't make much sense. And then you look at it, it's like, oh, well, you know, family lives in Cincinnati, random weird connections. So that is stuff you have to pay attention to on the recruiting trail.
Snow, a couple other things we wanted to talk about here is two names that have been on the radar forever. We've mentioned that Xavier's in really good position with both these guys, but kind of what's the update with Paul Scruggs and Chris Wilkes?
Yeah, as I've said from the beginning, I don't anticipate, well, Chris, this is going to be a process. But Paul, no one's under any delusion that anything's going to happen before August. I'm sure something's, of course, possible that it could happen in June. I don't think so. But it's Xavier, it's Michigan State, it's Louisville, it's Indiana. You get differing opinions on who exactly it is. The one constant you always get is Xavier's in the top, like, two or three. Paul really wants to play point guard. Michigan State's going to have a problem selling that with Cassius because Cassius can only play – Cassius Winston, who I'm speaking of, their 2016 commitment, can only play point guard. You know, Louisville likes Paul. Does Paul love Louisville? I don't know. Then Indiana, it seems like a love-hate affair. It kind of goes back and forth. So it's going to be interesting. Paul's going to stay close to home. Xavier's one of the real schools in there deep. I think this is going to move pretty quickly in August, but I don't think it'll move quickly until August. Then with Chris Wilkes, Chris could commit to Duke tomorrow, and I'd be like, yep, that makes sense. Or Chris could commit to Akron, and I'd be like, that makes sense. That said, I think Chris is going to take his time. I think this one could go all the way out to the spring almost. Chris is a different type of kid. He enjoys the process. He's a happy-go-lucky kid. Nothing bothers him. His dad's a cop. His dad isn't letting anybody mess with Chris or him in the recruiting process. So they're just kind of taking it at their own pace, doing their own deal. But Xavier's really in there with Chris. I mean, the hard part's figuring out who all is. You know, Michigan State just started. Ohio State's kind of in there. Indiana, Purdue, Illinois. But Chris has a weird list for a top 15 kid, and he just kind of recently started caring about recruiting. So that one's going to be fun to watch, but Xavier's going to be in there.
Yeah, it's just – I mean, Xavier's kind of one of the names that you've heard in there for so long and so consistently, and it's like, yeah, it seems like they're at the top, but it's just no one really seems to have any type of feel for who is really at the top of his list, or if there is a list, or if anyone's at the top right now. So it's just one of those where you're going to have to wait it out and see. And yes, with him being a top 15 recruit, it's going to be tough, obviously. But right now you couldn't ask for Xavier to be in any better position than they're currently in.
Yeah, and with Chris, you got to understand, this is not a kid who's going to get weak in the knees if Duke or Carolina offers. He'll be like, cool, that's fun. You know, like, that's just not his personality to be like the guy with the highest level thing. That's not his deal. You know, I don't even know how much college basketball he watches, to be perfectly honest with you. So it might not even make a big difference to him that it's North Carolina or North Carolina A&T. It's going to be relationships. It's going to be, you know, comfort. It's going to be something like that.
All right. One more thing here before we wrap this quick recruiting recap up. one thing we just haven't talked a lot about are bigs on the recruiting trail, and quite honestly, that's because Xavier just wasn't recruiting many bigs. But with this class being, you know, 5-6 guys potentially, they have really started to pick it up with some of these big men that they're recruiting. Who are kind of the top names right now, in your opinion? Other, obviously, I had Jericho Sims on the hot board, but other than Jericho Sims, who are some of the other top names that you're hearing?
Yeah, you know, right now it's thin. There's no question about that. They really haven't found a big they love. Of course, they love Ike Obiagu, but can you get Ike Obiagu? You know, like, that's a different ballgame. So, you know, recently they had Sterling Manley on campus, a developmental big from Pickerington. And Sterling's interesting. I saw him in January, and at the game I was at, Huggins was sitting behind me. Huggins loved him. The kid played great. West Virginia offered the next week. And then a couple weeks later, month later, he literally snapped his leg in half. I believe it's the same injury Jordan Seibert had. I'm not a doctor. I don't see how the hell a kid who gets breaks his leg where, like, the bone's literally sticking out in March or February can play in June. But there's thoughts he could play in June at Xavier's team camp. And if not, everyone's saying he's playing in July for Indiana Elite. I don't know how the hell that's possible. I don't know how you look good doing that, but I'm not a doctor. So I don't think Xavier would offer before seeing him. But, you know, this is a kid, he runs the floor well. He's got good size, really good hands, a pretty nice touch, a solid athlete. But you've just seen so little of him, it's tough to know. And then another kid would be Ejike Obina from the Virginia area. Mike Pegues has been on him. This is a huge kid, big, strong shot blocker, athletic rebounder, not a refined offensive player yet, and I think that scares Xavier a little bit, specifically with his hands, but I think that's certainly someone that Xavier's going to monitor going forward. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Jericho Sims, a big athletic kid down low.
Yeah, I think with the bigs, and correct me if you think differently, but it has to be a situation where they either find like an elite rebounder, shot blocker, center, or they have to find a guy with some skill back to the basket offensive game, because right now the guys that they have in place in the post are kind of just athletic rebounders, dunkers, finishers. Not, they don't have a lot of skill in the post, and none of those guys are like elite size guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they're bringing in a big, and they'd like to. Now, can they find the right guy? I don't know. But they'd like to bring in a big. You're talking a legit 6'9", 6'10 guy, preferably a rim protector.
Yeah, that would make sense. Snow, any other notes, thoughts, anything out there that you've heard recently on this 2017 recruiting class? Or, I mean, 2018, if you have anything good on that, too.
You know, 2017, one kid I texted someone about today would be Elias Harden out of Georgia. We mentioned he's going to visit. Pegues has done a good job here. He's going to visit in June, and I'm told Xavier's in there more than people think. Does that mean they lead? No, it doesn't. But he has genuine interest, and he's a kid. He's a shooter. He's got length. He's a solid athlete. He's one to watch. He's someone who fits the mold really well of what they like. And then Jamal Cain, certainly another one. To me, again, a stretch four as opposed to a three because he doesn't dribble it well enough. But he's a good athlete. He's going to rebound. He's going to make shots. Xavier leads for him. They're ahead of Michigan. I think I was told if Xavier wants him, they're going to get him. Now they're going to have to wait till August, September to do it. But I'm told if Xavier wants him, they're going to get him. And we'll see what happens there.
Real quick, this isn't exactly recruiting, but you mentioned, you know, Mike Pegues is the lead recruiter on a few of these guys, including Najee Marshall. What's the latest you've heard about Mike Pegues in Delaware? Obviously, you interviewed for the job last week.
Yeah, you know, I'm told he's in the top three or four. Outside of that, I don't know. I think I'm under the impression the interview he had, the first round of interviews with everyone they've had have not been on campus. And then either this week or next week, they're going to bring the top two guys to campus and go from there. I think this is a good experience for Mike. I don't know that he's going into this saying, you know, I really want to be a head coach. I really want to be Delaware's head coach. But I think he does want the experience of going through the process. And then from there, he'll make his decision. And that's assuming they even want him. We have no idea. I think, you know, Martin Inglesby at the assistant at Notre Dame is the guy you hear rumored about the most. Chris Caputo, another assistant at Miami. Pegues, those seem to be the three names you hear the most right now. Maybe Andy Toole, head coach of Robert Morris as well. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think the odds are that Mike is at Xavier next year. I think Mike's planning to be at Xavier next year, but he'd be an idiot not to see this process out.
Yep, no question. I think that does it for this recruiting recap. We will be back at the end of June with another one of these. So thanks for listening, everyone.